repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do? For not being the father.
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel, and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few is Steve Kolaszewski. We want to tell you right from the onset of today's program that this is a parental guidance suggested program. We're going to be showing you some images of things that have occurred around the world to Christians, and we want you to be prepared in advance. You know, in a previous program, we continue to share and to talk about the persecuted church, and particularly what happened to 147 Kenyans at Garissa University in Kenya. They were slaughtered. They were massacred by Muslim jihadists, a group by the terrorists by the name of Al-Shabaab. And they were killed. They were asked, are you a Christian or are you a Muslim? And they were shot dead. And you may be even seeing images right behind me. This is an atrocity. This is horrible. When 147 Christians are slaughtered, and I have to tell you that the silence has been deafening. This is something that we need to continue to be on the forefront of talking about and sharing and letting the world know that this is not just, this is not right. And in particular, I'm a little bit concerned about our president. For some reason, he's having difficulties or challenges in being able to communicate when Christians are being persecuted and saying what it is, Christian persecution, and not saying that it's by the hands of Islamist terrorists, people that are following Islam. You know, in recent times, we just noticed that even in this particular incident, when 147 Christians, Kenyan Christians, were massacred in Kenya, this was the president's response. This is a Christian Post reporting. Michelle and I joined the American people in expressing our horror and sadness at the reports coming out of Garissa, Kenya. Words cannot adequately condemn the terrorist atrocities that took Garissa University College, where innocent men and women were brazenly and brutally massacred. They were innocent men and women, but they were Christian men and women. And they were brutally massacred by Islamist terrorists. That's what happened. That's what happened. But it's not being identified as such. But if you will remember, even when the Christians in Egypt, actually in Libya, on the shores of Tripoli, it was ISIS who took 21 Christians and they lined them up on the shores of Tripoli and they cut their heads off simply for being Christians. And our president said that it was a terrorist act. It was a terrorist act. And, you know, there was another incident that happened right around the attacks on Charlie Hebdo. And when the jihadists went in and they started to attack a kosher jelly, even with the Jews. And the president then said it was a random act of violence. No, they were persecuting Jews. They went to a kosher deli. And they killed people. It's important that we understand this because right now, it appears that every time the president begins to speak on the behalf of Christians, it's in the form of a rebuke instead of standing for them. For instance, in the most recent comments that were made at the Easter prayer breakfast, the president said that the Christians were acting less than loving. I want you to hear his words for yourself. Watch this.
On Easter, I do reflect on the fact that as a Christian, I am supposed to love. And I have to say that sometimes when I listen to less than loving expressions by Christians, I get concerned. But that's a topic for another day. Where there is injustice, I was about to veer off. I'm pulling it back. Where there is injustice, we defend the oppressed.
That's what concerns the president. What concerns me is that when Christians are being attacked and they're being butchered, when Christians are being heads cut off, when 147 Christians are being massacred, we're not saying that it's Christians. And right now, while the White House administration is negotiating these Iranian these talks, including for the nuclear weapon capability and their enrichment of uranium, Pastor Saeed Abedini is still sitting in Iranian prison, Evan prison. At the very least, he could have been released. It's important that we acknowledge what's happening, because this is happening on the global scale. When we get right back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this and how we can stand together for truth and stand, as the president said, stand for injustice. It's the persecuting of Christians and Jews. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can you lose your job for referring to your faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Out of the blue here all of a sudden last Wednesday morning, here comes my boss walking into one of the stores I was in, and he goes, "I'm going to have to let you go." And I said, "For what?" And he said, "Harassment. You can't tell people that if you're not religious, you're going to go to H-E-L-L." And I said, "I didn't say any of that."
Yeah, let me tell you this. You can't be fired for your faith, and it had to be documented. There was this attempt a few years ago to create what was called a religious-free zone at the workplace, but that did not come into fruition. And we beat those guidelines back. So, again, that's an overreaction. Let me get you in touch also with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help. And, by the way, great resources, Gary, on our website. The On the Issues section, when you go there, right there on the website, has a whole section about workplace and what you can and cannot do. But, yeah, since you've been terminated here, let me get you in touch with our lawyers.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about the persecution of Christians. 147 Kenyans, Steve, were massacred in Kenya, Garissa University, by terrorist organization Al-Shabaab. And when the president speaks of this, you know, gives his response in regarding this awful attack, he doesn't say that they were Christians. He says these are innocent men and women, Christian men and women. He says innocent men and women, and he says that they were brutal, they were brazenly and brutally massacred, but he leaves out by who? These were Islamists. These are jihadists. This is known. And why is there a failure to recognize that? You know, and then we talked about what happened in Egypt. And this is a cycle that continues to happen. But when it comes to rebuking or correcting or speaking about what Christians should be doing, that he freely speaks his mind. And it's concerning to me. I have the question. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because even at a national prayer breakfast, he was speaking to Christians, telling them we should be careful about getting on our high horse. In fact, I want you to watch this and hear for yourself. Watch this.
Humanity has been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Terrible deeds in the name of Christ. There was a comparison there with what was happening in the Crusades to what had recently happened at that time, which was the ISIS attack, I believe, with Charlie Hebdo, however you pronounce it, in France. And it's like, this is not an accurate comparison.
It's like just bringing it up without really even really getting into what's really happening.
And here's the thing. It's like, Christians are being persecuted, and we're going to talk more about what Christian persecution means, because we throw words out, you know, persecution. What is that? You know, anti-Semitism. What is that? Anti-Semitism is racism towards the Jews, right? Well, persecution on behalf of Christians is literally people groups who are verbally assaulting or attacking Christians or physically attacking Christians because they are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And they're just attacking them. And in this case, what we're seeing around the world, we're seeing Christians being beaten, killed, murdered en masse. And we need to wake up. I mean, there's a message here to the persecutor, and there's a message to the persecuted. And we're going to talk more about that here as we continue to share. But he said something that was really interesting at the Easter prayer breakfast, and where he says that as he's listening, the fact that I want to get it for you. I want to get it for you. In fact, let's play that again. I want you to listen because it was rather quick, and I want you to listen. 4:23 at the president's words at the Easter prayer breakfast. Watch this.
On Easter, I do reflect on the fact that as a Christian, I am supposed to love. And I have to say that sometimes when I listen to less than loving expressions by Christians, I get concerned. But that's a topic for another day. Where there is injustice, I was about to veer off. I'm pulling it back. Where there is injustice, we defend the oppressed.
Less than loving Christians, and I get it. You know, as Christians, that should be our calling card. We want to move in love, and you know, God is love. So yeah, this is our calling card for mm-hmm. sure. And it, think about it, that's a great thing to aspire to be a person of love.
Mm.
But sounds a lot like, and I'm just saying, sounds a lot like Rules for Radicals, a book that was written by Saul Alinsky. And this was a book that the president actually taught when he wasn't the president prior to. And the book is, back of the book is dedicated to him and to Hillary Clinton, who was former Secretary of State. But in the Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky talks about one of the rules. Steve, would you read that rule for us?
Yeah, it's actually the fourth tactic, and it says, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules.
And I'm not saying that the president considers Christians. I'd be reading too much into it, but mm-hmm. it's like, you know, if your rule is to love, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, it's not a rule for us. It's what we want to do. So now it's like, if you're not being unloving, we got to just show that to you. You're not being unloving. Isn't this what you aspire to do? Isn't this your goal? Isn't this what your aim is? Mm-hmm. Well, you're not loving. You're not loving. And it's like, well, I'm trying. I'm trying. You know, yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah.
But it's important because there's two messages here. As we see Christians, you know, being assaulted on a global scale, to the persecuted, you know, I have a message. To the one who's doing the persecuting, I have a message. Careful, careful. I think about Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. In fact, in mm-hmm. Acts chapter 8, I want to read this because, you know, just because it starts out this way doesn't mean it's going to end that way. And we may think that we're persecuting. That's the thing about the person who is persecuting a Christian. Christianity did not originate with Christians. It originated with God. You know, mm-hmm. Christians follow the Bible, right? They follow the Bible because they want to honor the Lord, but they didn't write the Bible, right? I mean, this is God's inspired holy book, and it's about Him. So the fight or the issue is not with Christians. The issue really is with the God of the Christians. Mm-hmm. It's God. That's what the issue is. And Paul had to find this out. Because Paul thought that he was doing the right thing. See, in his mind, and I believe there are a lot of people that are persecuting Christians, persecuting Jews, because they think that they're doing the right thing. They are convinced of that. But, you know, you can be sincere about what you're doing, but you can also be sincerely wrong, you know? And Saul found that out. Saul thought that he was doing the right thing. He thought we got to you know, eliminate these people of the way, these Christians. Newsflash, this is not something new. Christians have been persecuted for a very, very long time. It's been happening for a long while. But this is what it says in Acts chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And it talks about how godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house as he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So there's a little bit of persecution going on here. You know, Saul was bent on making sure that Christians were going to be eliminated. And we know that Saul, right, became Paul. But in chapter 9, this we talk about what actually happened in this transition, what actually occurred. He's sincere, Steve. He was sincere. So to the one who's doing the persecuting, I know it may seem right, but it doesn't mean that it is right. Because this is what Saul found out. And this is what verse 1 says. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So Paul was getting his letters, he was getting his backing, and he was on his way to Damascus. Mm-hmm. And if he found any people of the way, Christians, right? If he found them, he's going to take them back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to kidnap them. This is what's going on. And so the verse 3 says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? His response is, who are you, Lord? ? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Now get this. Saul was persecuting the people of the way. And while he was on his way, on a journey, he was hit with a flash of light in the middle of the day. It was so bright, knocked him off his horse. And he heard a voice saying, why do you persecute me? And he found out the voice was Jesus. Why are you persecuting Jesus? So we're not persecuting Christians. We're not persecuting people. The Bible clearly tells us that whatever we have done to the least of these brothers of mine, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. And so when you're persecuting Christians, you're persecuting Christ.
Mm.
The issue is not Christians. The issue is God. And Saul had some help, but he came to the realization that I need to follow. Yeah. I need to follow him. I need to follow God. And you can too. The flip side of this is for the persecuted, the Christian, got a message for you. Stand strong in the power of his might. I think about Stephen, a bold witness in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
who boldly proclaimed the good news of the gospel. And of course, we want to do our very best to speak the truth and in love, not to be unnecessarily offensive, because what's the goal of that? But I will say that the truth does offend the offender. I mean, if the truth offends, it offends. But Stephen proclaimed the good news. And because of that, he was stoned alive. It was interesting. The scriptures say that Jesus, he saw up in heaven, he was standing.
Yep.
He was standing. And so to our fellow brothers and sisters all over the world that are suffering great persecution, I think of Pastor Saeed, who is still in prison in Iran today, serving an 8-year sentence. I believe it's already been 3 years, mm-hmm. Steve. And there's countless many others that are suffering like that, really too many to name. We encourage you by our prayers. We stand with you. We stand strong in the power of his might. And to everyone else in the West, that's us, which is, you know, American Christians. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Jesus told us already in his word, if this is how they treated the teacher, then you know how they're going to treat the student. To this we were called. Mm. To this, because we're not living for this life. We're living for the life to come. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about powerful testimonies of those who came to a saving knowledge of Christ and how it changed their life. You don't want to miss it when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to have a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners that are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, mm-hmm. and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on
the podcast.
Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that... Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says, visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just... You see them. You go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know, when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome back to Your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're talking about persecution. We're talking about the message to the one who's doing the persecution mm-hmm. and the one who's being persecuted. And this is happening so much on such a global scale, Steve, that there's an actual ministry, Open Doors Ministry, mm-hmm. who actually is aware of the persecution, and they rank mm-hmm. the countries in terms of how bad the persecution is. Can you share with that?
Yeah, because this is such a significant topic that, I mean, we have talked about it in detail and in depth, that just previously we were talking about Yemen. We were talking about mm-hmm. Kenya. And what is amazing is that these atrocities that we're seeing, 147 people were just massacred. And Kenya's not even number one on the list. According to Open Doors, they have a World Watch list, and we'll make this related for you, but there's a top 50 country list. On top of that list, North Korea. Then you have Somalia, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan.
Now, back up. This is the top 10 of out of 50.
Out of 50.
Countries
mm-hmm.
where Christians are being persecuted, and the number one country where Christians are being persecuted is where?
North Korea.
North Korea.
North Korea.
Now, God's spoken to us prophetically about North Korea and Kim Jong-un. Just go to the torch, and we'll make sure some of these are related for you. But interesting.
Yeah. And it continues on. Number five, Afghanistan.
What was number two? Go back for us again.
Number two is Somalia. Number two is Iraq. Number four, Syria. Number five, Afghanistan.
Wow.
Six, Sudan. Seven, Iran. Eight, Pakistan. Number nine, I'm not familiar with. It's Eritrea, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And number 10 is Nigeria.
Wow.
And the list continues on to the top 50. 50 nations that Open Doors Ministry would be so intricately involved, and they even share, they have a separate page on their website that shows how do they rank these. Because on a scale of 0 to 100, North Korea is ranked 92, like 92 points out of 100. That's how they get the top number one. The number 50 has 49 points. And just to give you the scale, that's in Kuwait. And you kind of see these things, and it's just like in America, in the West, it's like you don't have that perspective. It's like there's 50 nations where this is happening. It's like, yeah.
Wow.
And it's just overwhelming.
Amazing. What we want to do is not to remain silent on this network, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we want to not only us personally stand with the persecuted church around the world, but we want to begin to talk to the church in America about the realities of what we're soon to be experiencing en masse. We pray not. We hope not. God forbid. But I'll tell you that there's a lot of things that are happening, you know, presently. This is the time to be awake. And I don't even know if much people, Steve, I don't even know this, but just yesterday, the power went out in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
The White House lost power. And it's like, are these signs?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Are these signs? You would think that, you know, generators and, but they lost power. And it's important for us just to stay alert and be aware. But I want to encourage you to hear the words of what was shared in Revelation 2 to the Church of Smyrna, because they were encouraged to stand firm and to overcome in the face of great persecution. The word says that I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you that the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. I mean, Jesus' words are saying, be faithful. Be faithful, even to the point of death. And it's our goal. It's our aspirations. We fall more in love with Jesus to honor him by life or by death. And it gives a deeper meaning to take up your cross and follow me. Because when we give our lives to Jesus, we're giving our lives wholeheartedly. We need to be 100% in. And the whole reason that we live and move and have the whole reason we exist is to glorify him, whether by our lives or by our death, is to give him all the glory. And so we want to encourage you, stand strong, stand firm. But at the same token that we're talking about all this persecution that's taking place amongst Christians, I want to share something that's powerful that's happening, Steve, right now in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Indonesia, as I understand, is one of the most Muslim countries, population has the largest percentage of Muslims. It's in Indonesia. And my understanding is that every 15 seconds, a Muslim is coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in Indonesia. See, the gospel is going forth. This is the hope of the world. This is the hope for everyone. It's not in government. It's not in people. It's not in organization or money or wealth or all the things that people try to attain to. Outside of God, our hope is in Jesus, because the Bible is very clear. This life on earth is but a mere vapor. Mm-hmm. You know, the longer I live, I realize, man,
goes by
time
quick.
Is ticking fast.
Yep. Oh, yes.
And I start noticing some of the small children that I knew from before that were smaller, and I'm like, wow, this person's a grown man. But it, in my mind, I have a mental picture of them being 5 or 10.
Right,
like looking at this person as a grown man or a grown woman in front of me. And I guess that means I'm getting older too. But when I look at them, but we're getting older and it's moving fast. And once it's over, it's done. You know, regret is such a horrible word.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we're finished, what we could have done, what we should have done, what we wanted to do, but didn't do, it doesn't matter. What only matters is what did you do? What did you do with this precious life that God gave you? And we can avoid tomorrow's regrets today. And I think about these Indonesians that are saying, man, before it's all said and done, I want to serve the true and living God. This is happening at such an accelerated rate. This is happening en masse so fast that Muslims now have put out, this is according to Charisma News, they put out this video and this marketing campaign to alert Muslims in Indonesia to try to stop people leaving from bondage and, you know, coming to freedom. They're trying to counter this. Right. I want you to see this because it's powerful and it goes to show you what is happening in Indonesia is so real and so amazing that all hell is trying to come against it. Watch this.
This is Maryam. She is 16 years old, an Indonesian Muslim living with her parents and younger brother. In the next 15 seconds, she is going to leave Islam. This is why. Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world with over 200 million Muslims. But this is changing. Approximately 2 million people in Indonesia leave Islam for Christianity every year. Statistics from the International Crisis Group 2012 indicate that if the growth continues at its current rate, by 2035, it would cease to be a Muslim-majority country. This is an alarming situation and begs one to consider, why is this the case? Why are people not satisfied with Islam? Why are they willing to abandon Allah? There are people in Indonesia that have a very limited access to Islamic knowledge. The main exposure to Islam is through Friday sermons, which on many occasions they do not understand or cannot relate to. Christian missionaries across Indonesia are taking advantage of this situation and propagating their ideologies. They operate TV stations dealing with social problems. They operate Samaritan helplines responding to the concerns of the youth. They are holding their sermons on Friday instead of Sunday. They recite their book in the same style as the Quran. They use Islamic terminologies in their language, such as Salah, Iman, and even Allah. Maryam is not happy at home. Her parents often argue. It makes her feel suffocated and depressed. Watching TV and sharing her problems with the helpline helps her shut away her problem and gives her a sense of peace. Her friends often invite her along to concerts organized by the local church groups. She perceives them as her new family, who give her a feeling of love and support. Maryam is on the brink of leaving Islam. A lot of her friends already have, and are encouraging her to join them. She feels a sense of belonging, a purpose to her life. Millions of others have either converted or are about to convert. How do we prevent this? Maryam is not just a person. Maryam symbolizes a whole generation of Indonesians today. We need to save Maryam. We need to start at the grassroots level. The problem lies in a lack of Islamic knowledge resulting in poor faith. So we want to launch the country's first Islamic youth TV channel, which will share the message of Islam in a way the youth of today can understand and want to understand. We want to start a community helpline, engaging the nation of Indonesia on the religious and social aspects of their lives. We want to preach less and listen more. We want to hear the voices of our youth as they struggle with the many social challenges of modern life and respond accordingly. We recognize that today we do not have the same budgets as them, but with your help, we can at least take the first step. To start making a change, we need to raise $2 million. This is how we plan to do it. Many Muslims are unaware of this situation in Indonesia. It is time we let them know. It's time to stop taking comfort that Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world, as with every day that goes by, it moves one step closer to losing that position. We need to raise awareness of the Save Mariam campaign all around the world through the use of social networks and word of mouth. Do whatever it takes. Print posters, hold events, and tell everybody. Share this video on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and any other social networking sites you use. Blog about it, tweet about it, and get your friends to do the same. The more people who know about it, the easier it will be to reach our target. Our aim is to bring Islam back into the lives of Indonesian Muslims. Join us in our mission. Save Mariam.
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 Amazing. And I want to say that, you know what? Jesus has already saved Mariam. Mm. Jesus has already saved Mariam. This is how powerful what God is doing mm-hmm. in Indonesia, where people are coming, Muslims are coming to know Christ, 2 million a year. Mm-hmm. And if this rapid, you know, growth continues to happen into the kingdom of God, they're saying that by 2035, a nation with a population of 200 million Muslims will be a Christian nation. And you saw the video, you would tend to think in the beginning, this was a ministry that put this out, and you kind of catches you by surprise when you realize this is Islam put this out. They realize what's happening.
Yeah.
And the thing I want to say is that you saw the, why would you want to turn anyone away from that?
Right.
You have footage. You see people coming to God. They're worshiping Jesus. They're glorifying him. They're being ministered to. This is the hope of the nations. This is the hope of the world, is to come into the saving knowledge of a Savior who died for them, who died for you because he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And he would wish that you wouldn't spend eternity in hell, but that you would spend forever, eternity with him. God has a plan for your life. If you listen, we've met him. We've written down our stories for you. You can go to meetmyfather.org. And you can read some of them, and you can come on the same journey as well. Let us know. Email us. Get in contact with us. We'd love to continue to help you as you grow in your relationship with Christ. More we get right back on this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My goodness, who would have ever thought that now when you look at a can of Spam, you're going to start thinking about that Bible that's been sitting on your end table with the family genealogy in it, and you're going to look at it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to think, we don't open the can of Spam quite often,
mm-hmm.
even though it's a delicacy where?
In Hawaii. They still eat it.
What was the other factoid?
Factoid? It was a wartime ration during World War II.
It lasted, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing will last a good week in the war.
We
right?
have termed it factoids. United Kingdom still
exists. Patoids.
Patoids.
Well, also, too, in the scripture that says, you know, he that's full, right?
Yeah. He's thinking about it.
He went to school for this.
That he did?
That yeah, scripture.
He never told us his
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We just saw that powerful...
That is exciting.
My goodness.
Wow.
Save Mariam.
Yes.
Yes. Well, the Lord saved her.
Amen.
And we're excited about being able to talk about just the hope in Jesus Christ and how many even are listening to VFN TV all over the mm-hmm. world. Many in Pakistan and Egypt and Morocco. Nigeria, it's just really amazing. And we want to encourage you by sharing testimonies of so many Muslims that are coming to Christ right now. In fact, they say in Iran, it's reported that in Iran, that's the country where Christianity is just really just on fire, and people are just coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a beautiful thing. But we want to share a couple testimonies by Dr. Ergun Kenner, who was a former Muslim. And we've had it some time ago. Steve and I both have spoken about him and about his testimony.
Powerful.
Isn't it encouraging? I want you to listen to how, because so many times we think, and I know that you've spent so many times, you know, witnessing and sharing the gospel with many people. So we have so many awesome encounters that, you know, either they're afraid to share the love of God with a Muslim or someone from a different religion. They're afraid to be rejected. But we have to look at people in terms of eternity, what's going to happen to them, you know, and that God loves them. And we have to be more concerned for them than we are about our feelings getting hurt or, you know, someone rejecting us. But they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Christ. If they're doing that, and that's okay, because you know what? Many of us didn't come to Christ the very first time someone spoke to us about the Lord. You know, it's reported that someone needs to hear the gospel at least seven times before they actually give their lives to the Lord. But this is going to be amazing. We're going to let Dr. Ergun Kenner speak of his testimony. And Steve, I want you to give some insight when you get right back from this. Watch this.
What reached me for Christ, what reached me for the gospel, it was one solitary high school boy who refused to take no for an answer. In the Western culture, in the Western civilization, Christians basically hit one shot and done. You tell somebody about Jesus, if they reject you, bye. You have to understand, in our world, for a Muslim to come to faith in Jesus Christ, to leave Islam, you lose your culture, family, job, home, sometimes your life. And the average Muslim, it takes 7 years to come to faith in Jesus. For me, it was any number of years. But one boy, from the moment he started talking to me, would not leave me alone. It didn't matter how many times I said no. He invited me to events. He invited me to special all-night things. He invited me to concerts. I said no, 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 no. I did not want contact with the kafirim, with the infidel. Finally, my senior year in high school, to show him, I walked into this little church. So one solitary boy, one tiny little storefront church, one pastor who had maybe a sixth grade elementary school education. It was always the small, the isolated, the anonymous. And if you think about it, Christianity marches on the shoulders of anonymous people who have invested their lives. I mean, any person watching, if you do a detailed analysis of your life, most of the people who radically affected you were people who the world doesn't know their names. Their names aren't on the spines of books or on the sides of buildings. They're the anonymous. And it was an anonymous boy. It was an anonymous church. It was an anonymous pastor. And it was one little people who loved me to the cross. And this is important because everything I had ever learned about Christianity, I had learned from my imam, from my masjid, from my mosque, from my leadership. Every single one of them. And every caricature that I held was based on caricatures that other people had held. The meaner I was to them, or the more sarcastic I was, or caustic I was, the nicer they were to me. I sat by myself, boom, they all come sit around me. I'm churlish, and they just smile. I was amazed at the ability of the Christian to love me in spite of me. And this is important because it's unconditional. And when I finally afterwards asked them, why are you so nice to him? Why were you so? Well, I said, that's the way Jesus loved us. Romans 5:8, for God commanded his love toward us that while we were still sinners, while we were still at war with him, while we still hated him, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. That is a radical concept for somebody like me.
Amazing. Steve, a radical concept for a guy like him, because he was of the Muslim faith.
Absolutely. You know, I think about the fact of what he said, it was just one small boy that would not take no for an answer. The power of that, that he was able to just share, that's how Jesus loved me. There is power in your testimony when the fact that you can tell someone the fact that God loves me in my failures. It's like, stop trying to present yourself as perfect, because no one, I can't relate to perfect.
I can't.
I'm not perfect.
But
and how much more
I'm
is that?
Not perfect.
And it's like, we can be that much more real and transparent and say, I'm actually a soup sandwich. I'm a mess.
but God loves me in spite of that. And he just does awesome things through that. And it's just like just being able to tell people in their messes. It's like, no, Christ loves you even in that. It's powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful. And this relentless, you know, pursue. There's a lot of people pursuing a lot of things, you know. But why aren't we pursuing people's souls for God?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you know, you're not going to regret every time that you try to witness and share the love of God with someone. And if you have a life filled with all those amazing, wonderful encounters, believe me, that's a full, full life. But we have to really, you know, I love the Leonard Ravenhill quote, is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? And it causes us to evaluate what are we doing with this vapor.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not doing anything, you're either going to be offended or you're going to be motivated to do something. Like the movie, Do You Believe? If you haven't seen that movie, Do You Believe? You want to see that movie because you're confronted with the cross.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I want you to listen to Ergen as he says, what he says about, you know, what Jesus has done for him. It's going to blow you away. Watch this.
If I may say it this way, Jesus strapped himself to a cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to myself. I lasted 4 days in that church. After so many years of struggling, I lasted 4 days. On the fourth day, I came forward. I told the pastor, Isa bin Allah, Jesus is the Son of God. I want to be saved. I want to be born again.
Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He died for me and he died for you. And all we have to do, listen, his ears are not dull that he can't hear you. And his arm's not too short that he can't reach out to you. Steve, would you pray for us as we close out today's program?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the power of the cross. God, we just thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Ergen Kenner. We just pray for all of the persecuted church right now, all of those that are being, you know, shared the gospel, Lord. We just pray right now, Lord, that your kingdom would expand in the hearts of men and women in all the nations of the world, in every heart, in all the ears, and that eyes would open. And we just say that those nations that are not Christian nations, that we declare now that they will be Christian nations. And we just say, Holy Spirit, move upon all of these hearts. And that those that are seeking and learning and yearning, like, who is God, that they would encounter who Jesus Christ is, Lord. And we just say, thank you now, God. And we just say, more, Lord.
Yes.
And more, Lord, God. Have your way in this generation and in the nations, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
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 Uniquely Yours Boutique by Debbie on 9 Mile Road, where you'll find fashion, accessories, earrings, jewelry, candles, shoes, baby items, and so much more. And as always, free embroidery with every purchase. This is one boutique shop you don't want to miss. Mark Downey & Associates is a real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to their success is simple: aggressive marketing and an intense passion for serving others. Call Mark Downey's team today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, now with two locations to better serve your needs. Downtown and off 9th Avenue in Pensacola, Florida. Visit or call to learn more about self-defense. Don't be a victim. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Don't forget, you can catch us on at VFNTV.com on the app. You can search in your app store for V as in Victor, VFNTV, or you can, how else? I mean, so many different ways. We have podcasts.
Podcast, Torch,
The torch is so cool because you can go and sign up. Go to you can text, what's the number?
22828.
22828. Text VFNTV, that's V Victor VFNTV to
22828.
And in a few moments, you'll be receiving the torch every single week. And so if you miss something on the radio, if you want to hear it again, or you think that's great, you go, man, I wish I could hear that again. Guess what? It will be sitting in your email on that Friday. That Friday. So when you wake up Saturday morning, you're there Friday night, you're going to be able to go back and listen and share with other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you experienced. And you can participate in the great expectation of God by sharing the good news, by sharing God's perspective. You know, bring, you know, by sharing what we're attempting to do is give a light perspective of a God perspective, a biblical perspective, if you would, of what's happening in our life,
mm-hmm.
a reasonable conversation. And I got to tell you, you know, when I was in Destin and Don and I were spending time there celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary in Sugar. So the sand was like sugar out there. That I got a chance, you know, obviously listening to VFN Radio. And VFN Radio is so encouraging. I mean, think about it. Whatever comes into your eyes, whatever comes into your ears makes you up. It's, mm-hmm. you know, faith comes by hearing. And if you want to stir your faith and hear reality at the same time, hear a biblical perspective so it doesn't terrify you, but it will give you a biblical perspective and go, you know, hey, that's right. You know, like we just talked about in the first hour, the biblical perspective of our soldiers that are putting such a sacrifice out there is King David. And when you talk to your legislator, you can say, wait a minute, this is a principle that's been around. This is a Judeo-Christian country. This is what we should do. We should honor our soldiers. You can go back and you can listen to it. We'll see. It gives you a biblical perspective when they start taking it. We're going to defund the VA, or we have a million vets that can't get into the system. It'll take us a couple. You know, then you can get a biblical perspective of the whole thing. So you hear the news, you know, that this is going on, but then you go, wait a minute. It's godly for me to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a godly thing for me to stand up for these soldiers. And that's what's called a biblical perspective. And over again, we're trying to do that. Okay, you have folks that are refusing to get out of bed and go to work. You have people that are complaining about their life being so miserable. Well, we have a biblical perspective of that we just shared, that you're going to have to have integrity, that got life, true peace is being able to press through and meet the demands of reality, which will require your flesh to be unhappy, but God will reward you for that, and you can have peace no matter where you are. You see, so we're able to deal with a reality that, hey, as long as your flesh is comfortable, you're going to be in bondage. But as long as your spiritual is comfortable, you're going to be free no matter where your flesh is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's so your body is what I'm talking about. And so I just want to encourage you that you need that kind of balance. You don't bury your head in the sand of denial and say, I don't want to know what's going on because it's too big. God's people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You got to be able to look at both. You got to be able to look at what is going on. Then you got to hear what God says, God's word says about it. And that's called a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know.
All right.
And you can get that on VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com or search for it in your app store by searching for V as in Victor, VFN TV. Or just go to VFNTV.com and get your app there.